We are back again for the Warren County Radio Bible School. And before we get going on our class, I need to remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, let me give you a word of advice. If you come to worship with us at the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff, you bring your Bible. And most of the time, as I am standing there preaching, you can open your Bible to the text and just follow right along with the text. Most of my preaching is what would be called expository preaching, where we simply bring out the meaning of the text. I don't look at preaching as the opportunity for the preacher to tell you what I think. There's other times for that, but that's not in the pulpit. Our time spent listening to the preaching is part of our worship. It is not a show about displaying men. Rather, we turn our attention to God, and we do so by looking at His Word. And just as we're led by the singing and song, and we're led in prayers by the one leading us in prayer, so I'm leading you in this Bible study as we do that during our preaching time. It's Bible preaching that you'll hear at the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. That is our orientation. And so bring your Bible and you'll see for yourself and follow along. And that's also what we're trying to do in this Bible school, is show us how to study and read and learn from our Bibles. The old preacher helping us do this is E.A. Elam. And he wrote these Sunday school lessons. We're looking at a Sunday school lesson today, written for the Sunday schools of April 19th, 1925. And this particular Sunday school lesson is about the death of Ananias and Sapphira. Let me read to you again from the text, and then we'll go to Elam's notes. The text says in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 6, "But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said to Ananias, Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie unto the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, did it not remain thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine power? How is it that thou hast conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came upon all that heard it. And the young men arose and wrapped him around and carried him out and buried him." On Elam's notes, we read these Christians, the Christians that we read about earlier with Barnabas, these are the ones that gave cheerfully, liberally, and of their own accord under this great grace of God. Their generosity was equal to the necessities of all, and so it should be now. But hearing these words, overwhelmed by the revelation of his hypocrisy, Ananias, different than these Christians that gave so liberally and cheerfully, but with a dishonesty, Ananias fell down and gave up the ghost. Ghost means spirit. And when he gave up the ghost, his spirit left his body. He was dead. There was the condemnation of God upon him for this sin. It was sent by the Holy Spirit through Peter. Now let me read to you Acts 5, verses 6 through 10, and we'll see what it tells us about his wife, Sapphira. Acts chapter 5 and verse 6. The young men arose and wrapped him around and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." And she said, "Yea, for so much." But Peter said unto her, "How is it that ye have agreed together to try the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them that have buried thy husband are at the door, and they shall carry thee out." And she fell down immediately at his feet and gave up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all that heard these things. This study should be continued through these verses in order to learn the destiny of Sapphira. The young men were probably the Levites who served the temple, or the young men of the church there. These meetings were held in the temple court, according to verse 12. They placed Ananias, stretched out his limbs together, and wrapped his outer body tightly around him, and carried him out of the assembly and out of the city, and buried him. He was doubtless placed in some sepulchre or grave. For different reasons, the burial took place at once. In that warm climate, they bury sooner than we do, and the fear of defilement hasteneth the burial. He that toucheth the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days, Numbers 19:11. Being in the temple, it was also a cause for speedy removal. It seems strange to us that during these 3 hours, Ananias' wife was not informed of his death. We would have thought first of reporting the fact to her and consulting her wishes concerning the burial. Why she was not, we have not been informed, but we're impressed with the fact that in God's purpose it was right that she should not know it. Many a criminal says he has repented after he has been sentenced to die. Sapphira had 3 hours to further consider her sins and to repent, but she repented not. She came into the act out of her part in this wicked scheme. Some think the name Sapphira means beautiful, but none are beautiful who act so ugly. Peter addressed her and asked if they sold the land for so much, naming the price Ananias had given, and she said, "Yea, for so much." They had agreed together deliberately to sin. This was her sin, as well as the sin of her husband. The number of those who sin does not decrease the crime in anyone. They tempted the Holy Spirit by putting him to the test as to whether or not he knew their hearts and could disclose their hypocrisy and lie. To test the power of the Spirit was not the motive which led to their sin, but this was tempting the Spirit, and thus God vindicated the power of his Spirit. Peter then announced to her the sudden death of her husband as the awful divine punishment of this sin, and that she must suffer the same condemnation. The young men, just at that critical moment, were returning from the burial of her husband. This has to do with the Lord's treasury. It is a serious matter. When people now pretend to give according to their ability and do not, and thus seek praise for doing more than they do, they are guilty of the sins of Ananias and Sapphira. And this effect of their death, the sudden death, had an effect on the church. The sudden destruction of Ananias and Sapphira for the sin of lying filled all who saw it and all who heard about it with great fear, as described in verse 11. It was calculated to produce this effect, so it should affect all today. But because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil, said old Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11. Now that brings this Sunday school lesson to a close. And I look at the next page, and we have a Sunday school lesson for the Sundays of April the 26th, 1925. It's about Stephen the martyr. And I think it would be good, before we get into this lesson proper, that we stop and read the scriptures and let the Bible tell us the story of Stephen. It is found in two chapters, Acts chapter 6 and Acts chapter 7. Now, beginning in Acts chapter 6, we read, "Now in these days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a murmuring of the Grecian Jews against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not fit that we should forsake the word of God and serve tables. Look ye out therefore, brethren, from among you 7 men of good report, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will continue steadfastly in prayer and in the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenius, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them." Acts chapter 6 and verse 7. "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem exceedingly. And a great number of the priests were obedient to the faith." Acts chapter 6 and verse 8. "And Stephen, full of grace and power, wrought great wonders and signs among the people. But there arose certain of them that were of the synagogue, called the synagogue of the Libertines, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to withstand the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, who said, We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people, and the elders, and the scribes, and came upon him, and seized him, and brought him into the council, and set up false witnesses, who said, This man ceaseth not to speak words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place, and shall change the customs which Moses delivered unto us. And all that sat in the council fastened their eyes on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel." Acts chapter 7 and verse 1. "And the high priest said, Are these things so? And he said, Brethren and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto him, Get thee out of the land and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from thence, when his father was dead, God removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell. And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on. And he promised that he would give it to him in possession and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. And God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and they should bring them into bondage, and treat them ill 400 years. And the nation to which they shall be in bondage will I judge, saith God, and after that shall they come forth and serve me in this place. And they gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day. We'll stop and continue next class.